This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
216-474-0092. Talking about a couple things. One, I'm going to get to the Browns here because are they on the verge of a fire sale? Which, man, it's especially if they lose again this week. Are they on the verge of a fire sale? Can't believe I'm talking about that this early into the season. But 216-474-0092 on that. And then we also brought up another subject just a few moments ago as we were kind of looking at the Guardians, Game 5, School Bowl, home, all those things that are laying out there in front of them. The opportunity to go play the Yankees in the ALCS. Everything is sitting there. And then Dan brought up the subject that I had heard several times on this air. And I'm like, I'm just not ready to go there yet. Talk to me after tomorrow. If the season was a success or not. Has it been a fun season? Yep, I'm down with it. Have you seen more than $2 million down at the ballpark over the summer? Yep, that's great. It's all great. That's all fun. Is it successful? I don't know. We'll see how successful it ultimately will be. And part of that has to do with tomorrow when you're playing in a game where you have the opportunity to advance onto the ALCS. I don't know. I'm not ready to say it's a success. There's definitely not a failure. But I'm not going to sit here and start, oh, it was a great success, blah, 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 blah. Not today. Talked about Monday. I might say, oh, it was a great success, blah, blah, blah. Hey, let's get over it now. But not today. Today's the day to think about Game 5, to worry about tomorrow. Stand where you are. You know, live where you're standing, right? I don't care about whether the season was a success. I care about this team being able to have more runs than the Tigers in 9 innings tomorrow. That's what I want. That's successful. I'll live with the next 24 hours of success. I'm not going to worry about looking back at the season today. Not when there's another game to play, especially when it's a decisive game. Will is in Brunswick. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, Ben, Will.
Hey, love it. Love Dan. But like, I got to disagree with you, Dan.
Sure.
And I also got to disagree with everybody can cook a steak. I mean, you guys have had my meat before, so you know that not
Hey.
But this is like,
it's very easy to get
fired
on a Friday.
Well, this is like Dan. This is like saying, "Oh yeah, you cooked a medium. I cooked a medium, but mine's actually medium, and yours is well done." So, like, here's the thing: is it going to be a successful season? We hope so, but like, I don't even think we're playing with house money. Like people are saying, like the Yankees, they play in the smallest ballpark in the majors. They should always be successful, right? If they don't make it to the World Series, they're unsuccessful, in my opinion. If we
the fan base will agree
the World
with you.
Series,
it's not smaller than Fenway.
It's either the smallest or second smallest.
Right field porch is pretty.
Yeah.
Especially with that wind tunnel they built in there unintentionally. There.
Yeah.
He says with air quotes.
I'd be happy to get the ball out of the infield at this point. But go ahead, yes.
But the thing is, like, the Indians need to make it to the World Series for it to be a successful season. I mean, it's this team played this well last year, and we were young. We're still young. Like, not making it to the World Series is a non-successful season in Cleveland now. We've been to the pennant. We've won the pennant. We've done all this. We need to be the team that gets to the World Series more consistently, like a Chiefs football team, because we have been we're a pitching factory. So it's just, I don't even think we hit the World Series consistently. Yes, it's great seasons. They're fun. They're history-making. All that great stuff. We love baseball in Cleveland, but it's World Series there's going to be things that are going to change. We're going to lose pitchers. We're going to gain other players. I mean, the front office has kind of helped us into the playoff run, but like, think about it. I don't feel like they did a great, great moves like we could have done. And we're using Band-Aids to get us to where we're at. So
especially with the rotation.
Yeah,
you're right.
The rotation for sure.
Right.
All right. Well,
I mean, successful, sure, but I think World Series are bust for me.
All right. Well, thank you. Will says World Series are bust. That's the definition of success for him. I'm telling you that next week when I go back, or hopefully in 3 weeks when I go back and look at the season, I'll be like, wow, look what they were able to do. Look at all the injuries they had. Look at the rotation. Look at the guys that were able to help them even get to the playoffs, let alone have success in the playoffs. That's great. That's great for 3 weeks from now, I hope. That might be great for Monday, but not today. You know, live where you're standing. That's all I say. So.
And you can do both. I mean, that's where I am right now. I'm doing both, man. This season's a win. Two thumbs up. Great job. The arrow's pointing up. The future is really bright. And even if you miss the World Series on this run, hey, man, everything's pointing to do it again next year.
I just think
if anything, you get Bieber, you have a shot to get Bieber back. He's going to be a free agent. You get Bieber back. You get an offseason of maybe Tristan McKenzie figuring some stuff out. You get an offseason of Gavin Williams having a regular offseason that he could get back on track. Like, there's so many other things that could come in to help this team and continue to have that arrow point up with also saying, hey, man, like, game five, let's go. Let's win this thing. If anything, it could be even more of a success. I'll never tell you how to think. Anybody who's ever been in a long-term relationship knows the last thing you ever want to do is look at someone you care about and try to tell them how to think. Because trust me, that gets you in the doghouse more than when you goofed up. The second thing that comes with it is you could be two places at the same time. But if you perpetually move the goalposts in your life, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied.
Let's go Scotty in Concord. Hi, Scotty.
How are you, Scotty?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great because I still got Guardians fever, and I think that this season is a success. Because no one expected this at the start of the season. When Shane Bieber got injured, we all felt like we got punched in the gut and everything was going to go south. We have a rookie manager. We got a bunch of young guys. I think it's been a really fun season. I'm not ready for it to be over. The one thing that annoys me from the national media is when they bring up the stat that we're, for the last 11 in elimination games.
Yeah, that's gone. Thank goodness that's over.
Thank the heavens. You don't see that one anymore.
Right, and it's dumb because all that means is we've been in the playoffs a lot. So I don't think it's a good stat. I love watching this team, and I'm not ready for the season to be over. I hope they can keep it going Saturday.
All right, thank you, Scotty. Scotty checking in from Concord. Let's go to Anthony in Cleveland Heights.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good.
Yes, hi. Hey, I'm with Dan. You go back to the beginning of the season. If you would have considered what the scenario that's unfolding Saturday a success, given the pitching woes, you know, Bieber, McKenzie, Allen, I'm with Dan. Don't move the goalposts. That's a basis of neurosis in your life. Don't move the goalposts. It's a success already.
How about don't put the goalposts up until the season's over? I'm not moving. Look, I'm happy.
That's not bad.
I'm happy with everything they've
that's
done.
Not bad.
Trust me, next week I could turn around and go, hey, it was successful. Okay. I'm just not doing it today.
Well, all right. Dan made a good point a moment ago. Don't try to tell someone how to think. It's never going to work. So I agree there. That's 100% the last word on the subject. A couple things.
Anthony has spoken. That is the last word. Anthony,
You try to do that once in your life to either like your mother, your significant other, anything like that, you'll never do it again.
Well, I think we can all agree that the last word on the subject is you can't change somebody's mind if they don't want to be changed. You know,
that's true, too.
You can't tell them how to think.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. But, you know, a couple things. You know, I don't mind the boat's decisions to pull, you know, like Brennan early in game three. Was it three? Yeah.
Three, yeah. You know, I would have liked to have seen him hit.
You don't know when the great hit is going to happen, so to speak. So, you know, in fact,
good enough to put a guy in the lineup to start the game, whether it's righty or lefty, or whether they pull the old switcheroo in the second inning with their starter, don't you think he's at least good enough to see one at bat?
You know what? Brennan, 371 ops against lefties. That's, you know,
how did he manage last night? He managed the other way last night. He didn't care. So
that's fair. I would consider, you know, Noel has been struggling, but I don't know if putting him in a pinch hit position late in a elimination game Saturday is the way to go. I might start him, give him one at bat, and then pull him. That's an option. There's that. The other thing, which I pointed out earlier a couple weeks ago, I think, or something, a week ago, Williams, I'm just saying, from a three true outcomes perspective, walk, strikeouts, and home runs, three starts against Detroit at 16 innings, 22 strikeouts, four walks, and he gave up one home run in 16 innings. I mean, it's not
And he's bad. Fresh, right? He's fresh.
And he's fresh. Yeah. So it's a consideration.
All right, Anthony, thank you. Thank you,
it
Anthony.
It is, it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's so Jekyll and Hyde. That's my only fear. The dude's so Jekyll and Hyde.
All right, I'm going to get to this Browns topic here in a second. First, though, let's go to Brian in Brecksville. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Ben, Brian.
Hey, Andy, I agree with you. I think that losing to the Tigers
who was a lower seed would not be, in my mind, a successful season. And lastly,
I'm not saying I want to be on the record. Yeah. I'm not saying that I won't look back at this on Sunday or in 3 weeks and say it wasn't a success. I'm just not ready to say, I'm not defining the season today. Yes, it was a great, you want to define the regular season? Knock yourself out. But I just feel like it's a loser's mentality if we're going to sit here and go,
I agree.
Boy, it's a good thing that loser doesn't play or coach or have anything to do with it.
But you know, losing is never winning. So let's not confuse that. But I'm going to say something that will be very, very unpopular. Trade deadline coming up.
You're talking football now. You're switching over. Is that what you're saying?
I am.
Okay,
I am.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Trade deadline coming up. We have no assets. We're stuck with Deshaun Watson, who I think is the problem. What can we get from Myles Garrett?
You don't think Denzel Ward is an asset?
I think Denzel Ward has been playing not to get hurt. He's whiffing on a lot of tackles. And I don't blame him. I think he probably.
You don't think Amari Cooper's? I think Amari Cooper's an asset too.
Brian, please take this as tongue in cheek as I mean it as I say it. That's a loser's mentality. You're coming in here and moving the goalposts and getting rid of people. That's a loser's mentality.
But don't you want Myles Garrett to like go win somewhere?
I want him to win here in Cleveland. Brian, thank you. Appreciate it. We're up against
losers
it.
Mentality.
All right, now I want to get into the Browns 100%. 216-474-0092. Should the Browns lose on Sunday, is it time to come down to Crazy Andrew's House of Football Players and come on down and get a discount sale on some pretty good football players while we're trying to find some draft picks? Are we looking at a fire sale next week? Ouch. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bring on, frankly, one of my favorite writers in the country, a son of Cleveland as well. Joe Posnanski joining us. Got a book out right now called Why We Love Football, A History of Football in 100 Moments. Why We Love Baseball out as well, which is a wonderful read. The Baseball 100 on top of that one. Joe joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, how are you, man?
Hey, Joe.
I am doing great.
Good to hear. All right, man. So let's start with that Guards game last night. Eighth inning, guy comes up who hit a home run in his previous at bat, and David Fry off the bench. Then they call the safety squeeze for him. What did you think when that happened?
I thought it was pretty crazy, is what I thought. You know, but I mean, it was a cool moment. I mean, look, yesterday's game was. This has been kind of a bummer of a series generally. It just feels like every single rally, obviously game one was great for Cleveland and the next two great for Detroit. But I mean, it just felt like no rallies were working. It just felt like every single thing that was going on, just felt kind of like, all right, well, this is, you know, nothing good is going to happen here. No runs are going to get scored. It didn't matter how many people were on base. It just, everything just felt, you know, and obviously we saw three shutouts. So everything about yesterday's game, the back and forth part of it, you know, David Fry obviously hitting, you know, one of the great pinch hit home runs in postseason history. I mean, if you look at it, was really great. And then, you know, them, him, getting the insurance run that way, it was pretty cool.
All right, as we look at tomorrow's game, I mean, I'm pretty excited for a game five. Anything can happen. I'm curious what you think about going up against Skubal again.
Well, sure. I mean, it's going to be, you know, come down to exactly what it came down to, you know, in game two. I mean, you're going to have to match Skubal with a full arsenal of great bullpen pitchers. I mean, that's just the way it's got to be for the way this Cleveland team plays. And of course, they could have taken game two. They could have beaten Skubal even with all the situation. Obviously, it was Skubal left the game when it was still scoreless. So there are opportunities. He really truly is fantastic. I mean, he's not just a guy who had a great year. He's a truly great pitcher, and I think a guy that's going to be a dominant force for a while now. So obviously that's tough, but it's also true that, you know, baseball today is just so different. It's not like going up against, you know,
Hershiser or Maddox or Glavin, where, you know, they could go nine innings. He's not going to go nine. I mean, they'll get an opportunity. He's never thrown a complete game in his life. He's certainly not going to throw one today or tomorrow. And so, you know, you'll have opportunities against the bullpen too. So it's going to come down to somebody can scrape a run, and that's what this whole series has been about. And that's what I think game five is going to be about too.
Joe Posnanski joining us. You can read him at joeblogs.com on Substack. You can also listen to him on the podcast as well. And Why We Love Football, the book. You can find that pretty much at any bookseller around. Joe, we'd always heard this mantra of ball go far, team go far. That was always the thought when it came to the playoffs. And it seems like this Guardians team might buck that trend a little bit. Like they can hit the ball with some authority. They can get over the fence. But it seems like they're the team that does the little things. Do you think that they can move away from that trend of ball go far, team go far, and actually make a run in this playoffs?
Yeah, well, I mean, for sure they can. But honestly, the ball go far, team go far thing has not really been the case in these playoffs. I mean, we've seen it a little bit in the National League with the Mets and Phillies series and a little bit with the Dodgers-Padres series, although that really hasn't been – those have been – you know, the games have been pretty well dominated for the most part by one or the other. So that's not really been the case. I mean, even the Yankees just beat the Royals. They didn't do it with home runs. I mean, Aaron Judge didn't hit a home run the whole series. Juan Soto didn't hit a home run the whole series. So I really think that now, because bullpens are so dominant, pitching is so tough all the way through, you know, from inning one to inning nine, no matter who makes the start, I really think it is the little things that end up winning games. Obviously, David Fry's home run was gigantic, and so you still would love to be able to hit one out, and that could be, you know, a game changer. But I don't think it's a power game in these postseason, and the Royals, I mean, the Guardians have that opportunity. I mean, they can run, they move runners, they steal bases. That's probably the way you have to do it if you're this team, and I think that it can work in a year like this.
All right, let's play the managerial matchup, Hinch versus Vogt. Do you tell me? I think it's kind of been like a pretty good boxing match between these two guys through four games.
I think it's been fun, and I think that there have been games like I thought Game Three. I thought Hinch was really, really good in Game Three, and probably outmanaged Vogt. And then, you know, yesterday Vogt was fantastic, and pulled all the right moves, and a lot of that is luck and timing. I mean, you make the right move, it doesn't have to work. You make the wrong move and it can work. So it's going to be really interesting. When you look around at the playoffs all across the league, I thought the biggest blunder of these playoffs was Mike Schilt throwing Dylan Cease on short rest in Game Four. I just thought that was a move that maybe turned that whole series around. You want to avoid those kinds of blunders, and I think both managers have done that. And when it's so tight. Look, these teams are really pretty much mirror images of each other. I mean, there are certain things. Obviously, the Guardians have Jose Ramirez, but you know, the Tigers have Tarek Skubal. So they're pretty much mirror images, and I think both managers are pretty good at what they do. So, yeah, somebody's going to make the right move and come out as a hero, and somebody's going to make the wrong move and come out as a goat. But I think that's a lot of that is just that's just the way it's going to work.
Joe, what do you think of the expanded playoffs?
I have pretty mixed feelings about them. Look, I'll give you a great example, and I'm sure people in Cleveland are talking about this. So you have a five-game series. Cleveland wins the division. So the advantage they get is they get the bye, which is, you know, a mixed bag at best. It's worked out okay for them. They were good in game one, but it's a mixed bag, and they get home field. So game five will be at home. So, I mean, that's not, I don't want to downplay that advantage because it's something, but it's not a lot in a five game series. That's not a huge advantage. And then because they added an extra off day, Skubal gets to pitch game five on full rest. I mean, he would not be doing that. You should not have a five-game series, where the starter of game two is pitching game five on full rest. So I don't like a lot of that stuff. It totally downplays what the regular season is all about. But That said, I love baseball. I love watching it. I love being around it. So it's more playoff games and more, you know, game fives like we're going to get for the next couple of days. And you know, winner-take-all baseball games are a lot of fun. So it's a mixed bag.
All right, Joe, can I flip gears over to the Browns for a second? You good with that?
Yes, I am.
All right. So I think the concern is if they don't win on Sunday and you're eyeing down, what, 1-5? Not that I want to talk about that. But are we looking at a fire sale right after that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how much of a fire sale you can do in football. I mean, you can obviously, you know, not put as much into trying to bring people in, obviously, and you can do some things. But I mean, look, everybody understands what's going on with the Browns. They are tied to a quarterback who is playing very, very poorly. And when you're tied to a quarterback who's played very, very poorly and not showing a whole lot of leadership and there's not really much you can do about it, I mean, you're stuck. You're stuck. And that's where the Browns are for me as a, you know, that's as a guy growing up in Cleveland as a big fan. It's crushing to watch this team try to make this work with Deshaun Watson. It's just, it's absolutely crushing. I hated the move when they made it. I thought it was completely, it was just a terrible move in my mind for so many reasons when they made it, but it turned out to be way worse than I thought. Cause he's not playing well at all. And he's not leading this team at all. And that's pretty tough when you're in a situation where you can't bench him and you can't release him and you can't cut him and you can't trade him. I mean, they're tied to him now. So at this point, if they lose this weekend, the rest of the season looks like just a bummer and a half.
So, Joe, it's funny because you see a lot of pieces starting to come out from all over the place that are saying like, oh, yeah, Kevin Stefanski, possible hot seat. Kevin Stefanski could find himself there. And it's funny because here in Cleveland, we all kind of look at it and you get a couple people who are yelling every so often about the coach, as always the case. But the majority of people are like, this isn't Stefanski's fault. Do you believe that too? Are you also kind of like, this isn't Stefanski's fault? It's just kind of a disjointed offense with a quarterback who's playing poorly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, for me, you point directly at a front office that made the Deshaun Watson trade. I mean, that is everything for this team. To make that trade, to sign him that, you know, to that contract, you're basically saying, okay, listen, I'm not giving you any options here. You've got to make this work with Deshaun Watson. He's got to be great or this team is not going to go anywhere. And he's not great and this team's not going anywhere. And that's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. I think he's done a very good job through the years kind of keeping it together. I really am curious what he honestly thinks about the whole situation with Deshaun Watson. He's obviously not going to say anything. He'll probably never say anything about it. But, I mean, he cannot be happy at all. I don't know that he ever was happy. I mean, the way this team was humming last year behind, you know, a 78-year-old Joe Flacco was so much fun. And that team was so much fun to root for. And the defense was rocking. And everything was going great. And, look, they weren't good enough once the playoffs came around. Everybody understands that. But that team was so much fun to watch and so much fun to play for, I would imagine. And this year just feels like the exact opposite. And the one thing that's changed is Deshaun Watson is back at quarterback.
All right, Joe, so you wrote a book called Why We Love Football after the success of Why We Love Baseball, which was an absolutely wonderful read, a history in 100 moments. What made you want to do the same idea with baseball with football? And how did you build those moments? Did you just do NFL or is there college in there and all of that good stuff? How did you build this one?
Yeah, this one was great. This one was so much fun to do. And you know, it's interesting. I didn't really think about it as a follow-up. I mean, of course it is a follow-up to Why We Love Baseball, but really for me, I wanted to write a football book. I mean, growing up in Cleveland, I was football was everything to me. It was, you know, before baseball and bigger than baseball, I was just this gigantic Browns fan. There's a lot of Browns in this book, by the way. But, you know, that's just what I grew up with, and I really want to write this book, and I thought the way to write this book, the way to write about what it is about this sport that makes it so much a part of us, is to talk about these moments. And so it is everything. It is pro moments. It is college moments. It's high school moments. It's off the field moments. It's 100 moments where we bounce all around. You know, there's music in here. There's halftime shows. There's obviously some of the great, some of the great college football plays and moments of all time, and then obviously, you know, mostly pro football and what I think about football is just how emotional it is. I mean, it's just such an emotional experience. Listen to me getting emotional about the Browns now. It's just such an emotional experience, and that's what I really tried to capture. I mean, these are really, really emotional, fun. Not all of them are fun moments, but really emotional moments about football and why it gets inside us.
All right, so how many Browns stories are in there? Couple?
Wow, like a bunch.
Okay,
they're,
cool.
But they're not all good. They're not all good, but there are a bunch of Browns moments in there.
Oh, there's got to be one good Browns moment in there, right?
Oh,
one?
No, there are multiple good Browns moments, but you have to go back a little ways to get to the multiple Brown's good moment. I mean, look, Jim Brown is obviously a huge part of this. Paul Brown is a huge part of this, and so there's some really good Brown stuff in there. But I will say this: the moments that are in there that every Browns fan already knows those which moments I'm talking about, they're written from a perspective of a Browns fan. Let's just say that a certain drive is the shortest chapter of the book. Let's
okay, good. That's
that
like one sentence.
That it should
that's
be, yeah.
Good. Yeah. One sentence is good.
It's a very, very short chapter. Yes.
Jerk made nice passes, broke heart. Anyways, to the Jets overtime win.
Carlos didn't make the kick. That'd be another good. We could do that one too. We could do make believe chapters.
Oh, all of that's in there. All of that's in there, including Carlos not making that kick.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining us, Joe. We really appreciate your time, all of the great information, all that stuff. Why We Love Football, booksellers everywhere, Amazon, all that good stuff. If you've never read a Joe Posnanski book, this is a great one to start with. They're awesome reads. They're so much fun on top of it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Posnanski joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I got to tell you, though, tomorrow is going to be interesting. Today, I'm wondering how many TVs are being sold today. Because tomorrow is a dilemma night, I think, around most houses. Or this is I need to go get to the bar so I can have multiple TVs in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm already set up. I'll have a monitor in front of me for Ohio State, and then I'll be watching Guardians on probably on my computer. Or I don't know. I'll try to figure out how to do
it. Right, so,
although it is easier, though, if you want to watch Ohio State tomorrow night, they're on Channel 3. All you need is an antenna. So that's easy. You know, you set up another TV right next to your TV. I'm telling you, I am torn tomorrow night because, I mean, I'm going to be able to watch both at once. But, I mean, you got two huge games. Oregon, Ohio State is gigantic. And then you got game 5. So it's like your eyes are kind of be locked in on the Guardians, I think, a little bit harder than the Buckeyes. But I don't know. What are you doing tomorrow night?
All right. So I need your help.
All right.
And if anybody else would like to send it to us at CLE Talking Heads, feel free as well. Feel free to call on top of it, okay? I am trying to get two TVs in the house for this. The kibosh.
Wait, you don't have a second TV in your house? Or you can just.
I have a second TV in the house. It's, okay. Of course, just in a different room.
Okay.
The lady friend has put the kibosh on the two TVs going at the same time in the same room. She has laid that one down completely. How did anybody with two TVs get this done? What was the logic you used? And can I borrow any kind of notes that you have of how you got this done without having to, like, give up the farm of all pull that you would have and anything else for it? Because this is my dilemma. I don't have this. I need this for the weekend. And even if it's just like a temporary, like, hey, I just want to get a table and just put it there just for the weekend. It got slammed down last night. No, we're not doing it. We're not those people.
Wait,
we're not having
second.
Two TVs.
Wait, you can't even bring another TV into your room?
Got slammed down. Like, just, no. There are very few things that she puts her foot down on. That one got the slam down. No.
And if the answer to anybody who is out there going, well, you know, you just got to establish dominance. Yeah, you don't live in my home. I try that one. I'm in the yard. Like, that's, we're getting the tent and the sleeping bag and sleeping in the backyard for a period of time. So how do we work this? Do you have this setup? Do you have the two TV set up in your house?
No, not at all.
Okay. Do you have the ability to do it if needed?
Yeah, I have a, although one might be at college right now, and I didn't think about that, the TV that we normally use that's mobile. Now, in my office on my desk, I've got a big screen TV on my desk, and then I've got a hanger, a little hanger TV
okay.
in the corner, which I love, you know.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I do need to show you something really cool.
I gotta figure this out.
Somebody sent me this today, as a matter of fact. Can you see it? I don't know.
See, this is
okay, so it's somebody in their house. This is amazing. What they did was, I don't know exactly how they did it, but maybe they made it themselves. They took four TVs. I don't know. They're probably like 30 inches, somewhere between 25 to 30 inches. And what they did was they made it look like one of those drop-down video scoreboards that you'd see in an arena.
You know, the Humongatron what is it now, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse?
Yeah, I mean, it's
a smaller version of that.
I'm looking at this. That's amazing. What they did was they took down, they had a ceiling fan in their kitchen area, and then what they did was they put four screens around the outside of it so you could look up. It's like something you would see at a bar, but they put this up in the living room, and I got to tell you, it is absolutely fantastic.
If I did that and I came home to it, I don't even think I'd get the yard. I think I'd be sleeping in the park down the hall, down the street. Well, I'd have to be sleeping in the park. It would be a shanty town I would have to set up, and I would be evicted immediately.
So
that's phenomenal.
Can we send this back? I'm trying to figure out. It's I'm watching a Reels on.
We'll figure it out. If I can find it a way to get it up on our X page, I would get it up on our X page.
It is absolutely fantastic. I can't hear the volume right now, but what I'm watching is it looks like the kid went into the parents' living room, took down the I don't know if that was a ceiling fan or not. I just think it was a hanging fixture. It took down the fixture, wired up this four TV screen set that looks like a Jumbotron. Amazing.
Our X mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLA Talking Heads. Jack chimes in going, Dan, I know a good divorce attorney. Jack, you don't know my dating record. Trust me. We got to hold on to this. I don't have I'm not that charming.
I got all these people that want to talk to us right now. Hang on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we can here. Brian Anderson is going to join us next. We need advice on this. We need advice. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in today.